The traditional guest on the eve of the National Hockey League season is the Commissioner Gary Bettman, who joins us from New York. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. It's good to be with you. That
is it traditional now, Gary? Do you view us as now a tradition?
If you say so, I hadn't focused on it. I was focused on the fact that I was dealing with a hat trick with the three of you.
Well, I will get out of here.
Adversaries is maybe a better way of putting it.
No. I'll bow out.
Deal with each other.
Right after I set the table for a hug here between you and Kipper, because it was last spring where you guys kind of got at it, and Kipper said there were some negotiations going on about a team moving to Winnipeg, and you told him that Phoenix wasn't in those talks.
He didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, he said Kipper didn't know anything. But in the end, you're both right. Atlanta ended up moving to Winnipeg, and Phoenix stayed put. So I think both guys can sit back and go, you know what, I'm pretty happy with the way I came out of that discussion.
Okay.
Kippy, are you okay with this?
If that makes everybody feel better, it works for me. And listen, I think it's important, because you guys know it, that your listeners know it, that we can all have fun and go at each other, but it's never personal.
No,
never. We always welcome
it's
you.
One thing we pride ourselves in this show is we're never personal.
Yeah, McLean is really bitchy today. So
is he?
Yeah.
What's wrong, Doug?
Well, his son plays for Niagara, and they lost to Michigan Wolverines last night 5-0. He drove all the way to Detroit and back.
Arbor and watched. Yeah. It was a thrill of a lifetime for me.
But it's not. No. It's not about you. It's about your son.
No, you know what?
My wife actually has an interesting saying that you can't be happier than your least happy child. So yeah. If you want to be unhappy because he lost, it's because he's unhappy. The fact that you drove, too bad. You're a dad. Suck it up.
Oh, no, I loved it. And it was a thrill of a lifetime for me to be there watching him play in Michigan. And it may have been the highlight of my hockey life. You know that?
By the way, that's great.
It was.
You know what? That means you're a good dad. And that speaks volumes about you.
All right. Back to the task at hand. Gary, I'm sure you're absolutely thrilled with everything that's transpired in Winnipeg. That took care of, obviously, Atlanta. The issue still remains a little bit questionable in Phoenix. Where are you guys with Phoenix? And as long as Glendale continues to rent this team for $25 million a year, I mean, are you okay with that?
Well, first of all, I think we need to take a step back. Winnipeg's great, and we're thrilled to be there, but this was never about saying which do we like better, Atlanta or Winnipeg. As with any time that we've had to relocate, we don't look at the alternatives until the team is dead in the water where it is, and the measuring rod for that is, does somebody not want to own a team there anymore? That's why Winnipeg moved in the first place. That's why Quebec City moved. After it was clear that Atlanta was done, that's when we said, okay, we can go to Winnipeg and this will work and this will be great. We're not going to go on with Phoenix indefinitely. The fact of the matter is we do have a couple of groups that have understandings in a macro sense with the city of Glendale, and we're going through a process of vetting this and seeing if we can work it through. I still remain optimistic that the club will remain where it is, but going to your question, the essential element is when you have a city that makes an investment in a building, and then they're prepared to continue investing in the building to ensure that the club can be there, that's not something you take lightly. When you don't have an alternative, you move. Now, obviously, we don't want to keep operating this club from the league standpoint, and at some point there will be fatigue in this situation if we don't get it sold probably this season.
So right now, I sense when I hear you speak about it that you're getting to the point you can't tolerate this much longer. I know writing the checks is one thing, but now all of it, well, just a minute now. Don Maloney, you know, is now saying, you know, he and Doan are going to, you know, wait till this is settled out, the ownership situation. Is it close that we can hope it's going to get done soon?
It's not a question, you know, and I don't want to quibble with you, saying we can't tolerate it. That's not the point, because we've been trying to do the right thing here. But the uncertainty is an issue, particularly for the players and management. And so it's not a question of what I can tolerate. It's us ultimately, for the long term, at some point having to be realistic about the situation. And by the way, Shane Doan and the other players have been absolutely terrific about how they've handled this situation to this point. I know that they're all thrilled that the club is there this season. Those are conversations I've had with Shane on a regular basis. And Don Maloney feels the same way. Nobody's looking to move. What they're looking to do is get rid of the uncertainty, and that's what we're working on.
Tough to do a realignment plan, though, when you don't know what's going to happen in Phoenix.
Well, whoever said anything we do is going to be easy. You do the best you can under the circumstances.
Hey, Gary, we heard Mike Gillich publicly say that you promised him to move to the East. Is he telling the truth?
Well, I never like to get into public debates with my owners.
Is he telling the truth?
Let's make it clear that the decision as to whether or not there's a realignment and the club moves in the realignment is a decision that gets made by the Board of Governors, not by me.
Gary, it's a challenging situation, you know, when there's five Western teams that aren't totally content. Obviously, Detroit, Columbus, because of the logistics of travel. But then you've got Minnie, Dallas, and Nashville that are also having conversations. How do you it's a challenging situation to appease five teams, especially when nobody from the East really can move to the West. How do you guys work this out?
You've noticed our geography. Very good.
But how do you work it out?
Well, what you do is, first of all, everybody who is where they are there understanding that,
right.
And in the final analysis, you do the best you can with the answer I gave you before. At the last board meeting, when we started this discussion, I gave each of the five clubs an opportunity to address the rest of the board on what their concerns were and what they thought from their standpoint was fair and appropriate. Ultimately, the board's going to have to figure out and decide on what it's comfortable with moving forward. Maybe somebody will come up with something, you guys, somebody in the league office, somebody at a club, maybe one of your listeners will come up with a plan that nobody thought of and that will miraculously satisfy everybody's concerns. Or maybe we wind up with something that meets some of the concerns and not all of them.
Right, yeah.
And so it is, for lack of a better phrase, a work in progress. I don't think people should get too hyper yet on what the end result is going to be because nobody knows. And you quite appropriately point out the fact that if, not counting on it, but if we had to move another club, it might mess up anything that we tried to do in the short term. All of that's going to have to be taken into account,
right.
and we'll start focusing on it in advance of the December meeting. We'll have another go at a discussion with the board in December and see if we can at least get to a place, certainly for next season, where Steve Hatzepetros knows how to schedule.
Gary, just going to the headshot situation, I mean, not headshots, but the new rules and the whole discipline thing. I was talking to people this week that sort of indicated that Coley Campbell, Mike Murphy, and Chris King are not involved in any of the analysis of these hits, that it's strictly Shanahan and Rob Blake and a office person that's been in the past, Damien. Is that accurate? Changed? I heard the other day that, no, it's changed now. Everybody's involved in it. Can you elaborate on that, or is that strictly confidential?
Listen, we're the first sports league in the history of supplemental discipline who actually now videotapes an explanation as to why the decision was made.
He's on TV more than I am, and I work
for a living.
Can
we see you doing some videos and giving him a night off, Gary?
No. Well, if we give, but we're not giving him a night off. So
okay.
Forget that. And the reason for that, and that's a segue to the answer, is the decisions are ultimately his. He is responsible for administering what's really called commissioner's discipline. He has been given the authority, and it is his decision to make. To the extent that we have resources and assets that he can call upon, particularly personnel within the league office, he's free to discuss those things with him, with them, or him or her or whomever he decides within those assets that we have assembled at the league office. But in the final analysis, after he has the hearing and he's made a determination, it's his determination. And by the way, and I think a lot of people get confused about it, I don't get involved in that process. The way we're set up is any appeal has to come to me, so I have to stay out of the decision. I know lots of people like to criticize a decision and say, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, and whether or not I do isn't the point. I don't.
Are you getting a lot of phone calls from general managers, though?
I'm sorry?
Are you getting a lot of phone calls from general managers?
No. But like, what kind of phone calls?
Upset about
no. Well,
no.
Gary doesn't get phone calls from GMs. He gets them from owners.
Gary,
I get phone calls from GMs.
Yeah, I know.
And the feedback, while not unanimous, is overwhelmingly positive in terms of the steps that have been taken to better protect heads.
Well,
in the hopes of reducing concussions.
We know some general managers who aren't happy. We've spoken to them, so. Therefore, you know, you look at the job that Brennan came in, and he came out like a bat out of hell, and it seemed like everybody was on board. The press clippings were terrific. This guy's a star. And right. Then all of a sudden, we see a hit go
I'll tell you exactly
what
we
saw
it
Ryan Malone hit Campoli in Montreal, and everybody's sitting there going, where's the headshot? So how do you rate the job he's done?
I think he's doing a terrific job. And I don't say this with anything other than an observer's viewpoint. When Clark MacArthur got suspended,
right.
The fans in Toronto were outraged. And when Malone wasn't suspended for the hit on Campoli, the Montreal Canadiens fans were outraged. By the way, when you look at the video and he's made or is making some videos on it, there are, as you guys know, a half or of a split second or a foot difference or the turn of the head of the body at the last moment makes the difference. Because yeah. To the extent I've heard some complaints, and not too many, because it's been overwhelmingly positive both from the owners and the GMs, is are we taking physicality or hitting out of the game? And the answer is no. What you really have to focus on, is it a body check? Is it a full body check? We have removed headshots under Rule 48, but we haven't removed all head contact because of the nature of the game, the speed, the physicality, and the fact that we want full body checking. There's going to be some incidental head contact, and that's not something that's been legislated out either by the rules or by supplemental discipline. And I think people, including our own people, meaning players and coaches and commentators and our fans, are going to have to adjust. Not unlike when we came out of the work stoppage and people had said when we changed the officiating standard, we've taken the physicality out of the game. Well, as everybody knows, we didn't take physicality out of the game. There's more hitting than ever before, and the game's never been played faster. Let us continue to go through the adjustment period. I think we'll get there, and most importantly, I think it'll be a huge step forward for protecting heads. You know what? I can live with separated shoulders and broken bones. Heads, we're much more concerned about.
Gary, last week I watched the hit, the Smith on Smith, and it was after I watched it, I said, well, the Chicago player put himself in a vulnerable position by cutting to the middle and doing a toe drag. I was wrong, and he was suspended the 5 games. And, you know, so I was anxious to hear the answer as to what really vulnerable means, because I thought that meant vulnerable. Then when I saw the Campoli and I saw the Edler on Hall, then I understood the head went down and moved at the last minute and put himself. So I was confused on what vulnerable means. The video helped me get a little bit clearer understanding, but there's really such a fine line there that it's going to, you know, and that's good, I guess, but I understand it after I saw the video.
But by the way, Doug, you're 100% right. If I was in the room with you, I would hug you. It is a fine line, and when people suggest there's inconsistencies, what they're really doing is not looking at how fine the line is and whether a guy makes himself vulnerable, whether or not somebody had enough time to react or the train was going into the station and it was too late to put on the brakes. That's one thing. If instead of not putting on the brakes, they increase the speed and really ride somebody harder into the glass than they need to. These are all subtle differences. And Cole, by the way, I'm going to go off on a tangent for a second.
Coley, okay, hurry up. I want to get one more in.
Okay. Coley did a great job. The game we play today is a function of what he did during the work stoppage year and coming out of it. It was his vision. It was his package of rules. It was his working with the officials and the clubs to make it work. And he did a great job over 13 years on supplemental discipline.
And I can attest to that.
Okay.
Okay. But the subtle differences, the fine line is why people think that there's inconsistencies when they're not. And Brendan, having played the game under its current conditions, understands what takes place out there, is a great student of the game. He's a smart guy, and he can look at that fine line and understand where the play was on either side of it. And what happens, and I love it about our game and our fans, the passionate nature of the partisan rooting helps determine how outraged or not people get over a certain call.
Okay, listen, one more before we let you go. We're gonna the stakes are higher.
He doesn't want to go. He wants me to ask one more.
The stakes are higher, so we're going to see repeat offenders. With repeat offenders comes fines that are astronomical. Wisniewski was over $500,000. And I'm sitting there going, man, you got a good thing going here, Gary. Like, if I get pulled over for speeding by a cop and I want to go fight the ticket, the judge is not the cop. You, on the other hand, if the appeal process has to go through, it's got to go through the same office here. I can't believe you're able to get $500,000 off of guys with fines. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. I don't buy what your speeding analogy doesn't work, because the fact of the matter is we have a game that we can police, and we know better than any independent
I know, but guys
third
can't.
Party. And we get into this debate when the courts and law enforcement try and get involved. The fact is, we as a league, I as commissioner, have a responsibility to make sure that this game is played as well as it can be, under the right terms, with integrity, and with the players being appropriately protected.
But the appeal process is different, say, in Major League Baseball than it is.
Major League Baseball is the only exception, and with all due respect, most people in the sports world criticize Major League Baseball's appeal process and discipline because it goes on forever, it's inconsistent, it's erratic. You know, the NFL, the NBA, and we do it the way that I believe it needs to be done.
The tradition continues. Gary Bettman joining Hockey Central at noon before the start of the regular season. By the way, nice not to hear from Via and Air Canada over the lack of a suspension in Montreal, wasn't it?
It's always good to be with you guys.
We're ending on a happy note. I'm so much happier than the last time we spoke.
Gary, you hugged Doug. You made up with Kippy. I like it.
Do you know how big a price I'm going to pay for Gary saying he'd like to hug me? I am going to get ripped out there. You know that?
Find him a job.
Gary,
get him out of our hair.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be with you. And it's going to be a great season.
Yeah.